How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Very interesting show today. I am here all by myself. Mike Sempervivi is out on the East Coast. He lives on the beach in Delaware. And as I'm sure most of you are aware, there is a enormous, gigantic storm heading towards the East Coast as we speak. In fact, I think that subways and bus lines will be shut down as this show goes on the air. So, obviously, my best wishes to everybody out there on the East Coast who is in the path of this hurricane. But Mike is taking care of business. And so, I believe, for the first time ever in all of the years that I have been doing Wrestling Observer Live, dating back to, I believe, 1998, I believe, 1999... in all of the years I've been a part of this show, this is the first show I am ever doing solo. So we're going to give it a shot. Could be good, could be a disaster, I don't know. But what I do know is that we are going to talk about pro wrestling and mixed martial arts for the next hour. My plan is this. I am going to kick off this show with the news coming up in the next segment. And then after that, we are going to get into a preview for the WWE Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, which is taking place moments after the show goes off the air on pay-per-view. Dave Meltzer is going to be doing live running play-by-play on the front page. I'm going to run down all of the matches, give you my thoughts on what is going to happen in the key matches. We'll give you some backstage news as well. There's a lot going on, obviously, as it regards the finish of the CM Punk Ryback match, which is coming up later on tonight. So we'll talk about that. And after the preview, if we have time, I'm going to attempt to open up the phone lines and get your predictions on who is going to win CM Punk versus Ryback for the WWE title. And of course, this show is going to go up on the website, WrestlingObserver.com, later on in the evening as a free download, as we do every week. And it'll be kind of fun to look back and see what people thought after the show is already over. So that's coming up here in just a moment. But we're going to head to our first break. When we come back, the news of the week in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. Here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. For the first time in over a decade, I am doing the show solo today. Got a text message from Mike Sempervivi. He is settling down in preparation for the hurricane, which is about to strike the East Coast. And he lives on the beach in Delaware and likely going to be hit hard. So obviously our best wishes not only to Mike, but everybody out there on the East Coast. I actually was up until 3 a.m. Pacific last night. I had to do a show with Dave Meltzer for WrestlingObserver.com, but there was a major earthquake, I believe a 7.7, about 200 miles north of where I am living right now in Seattle. It was up the Canadian coast, and it was looking like a tsunami was going to hit Hawaii. And I guess technically a tsunami did hit Hawaii, but they were expecting it to arrive at about 1:30 a.m. Pacific. And I've got a lot of friends that live in Hawaii. I know people who grew up there, some friends of mine out here in Seattle. And I ended up staying up to kind of monitor the situation. I don't know, obviously, what I would have done, but I wanted to kind of keep an eye on what was going on. So I didn't end up starting the show with Dave until very late. And luckily, thank God, nothing happened. In fact, this morning, people were joking about the tsunami wave that hit Hawaii. Ended up being totally fine. So that's very, very good news. But not looking like it's going to be good news for the East Coast. So again, best wishes to everybody out there on the East Coast. And hopefully everybody ends up safe in this situation. Today, obviously, is the WWE Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. It is taking place. Ryback versus CM Punk for the WWE title is the headliner. We're going to talk about that here in a moment, but first off, we're going to start with the news of the week, of which there is a lot of it, as always. But a couple of comments on a couple of different stories. First off, the death of UFC announcer, former UFC announcer, and Olympic gold medalist Jeff Blatnick. If you are online, I recommend heading up to YouTube and checking out some Jeff Blatnick videos. Particularly, I think if you Google Jeff Blatnick gold medal, I think the first video that comes up is the final minute of his gold medal win at the 1984 Olympics and his promo afterwards, and it's awesome. You've got to check this out. He was a gold medalist in wrestling that ended up involved in UFC, the early days of UFC, and he is the guy who was responsible for essentially renaming the sport mixed martial arts. The term mixed martial arts had actually been used dating way back. Jeff Blatnick had worked doing some, I guess he was doing some commentary for the UWFI in Japan, and this was in the mid-90s. And, of course, Antonio Inoki had a very famous and actually very horrendous mixed martial arts fight, a mixed match, with Muhammad Ali, 1976. And Antonio Inoki had done a gimmick in pro wrestling where he had faced opponents from a variety of different combat sports. And he always used the term mixed martial arts in describing these matches. Here in America, UFC was taken off in the early 90s, and the term that was used at the time was no holds barred. And obviously, when UFC first started, they built it on this idea that you were going to see two men going into a cage and having a fight, and no holds were barred. You could do anything you wanted. It was karate versus kung fu versus jiu-jitsu, whatever the style versus style matches were, and you could do anything you wanted. No holds barred. And obviously, the idea of men going into a cage and fighting no holds barred was a big deal at the time. And so the first few UFCs did great business based on this no-holds-barred mentality. Jeff Blatnick realized that in order for this sport to grow, no-holds-barred is going to be trouble. It is going to run afoul of political opponents, which in fact is exactly what happened. And realistically, it's not no-holds-barred. There were holds barred from day one. There was never a time in UFC history where you could do anything. So obviously by the time UFC 2, 3, etc. came around, we were starting to get a very primitive rule set. And Jeff Blatnick talked to everybody at a show, I believe UFC 16, and he sat the press down and he said, listen, this no-holds-barred designation is going to do you significantly more harm than good in the future. And so it's my recommendation that we adopt the term mixed martial arts, since we are mixing martial arts together into a sport. And as a result, that became the term that was used when discussing UFC. And obviously, UFC still had a lot of problems in the early 90s when it ran afoul of John McCain, for example. But he was the guy that came in and started to help put together some rules, along with Joe Silva, who is still the booker of UFC today. And so when you look back and you think about mixed martial arts, I mean, you cannot think about mixed martial arts without thinking of Jeff Blatnick. And he passed away at 55. Apparently, he was going in for a minor heart procedure, which is why he was talking to people earlier in the week. And these people had no idea that he was about to go in for heart surgery. It was supposed to be a minor procedure. And apparently, whenever you're going in for surgery, there are always risks, and complications came about, and he passed away at the age of 55. So many people in the mixed martial arts community, the reporting community, the wrestling community, obviously, devastated by the loss of Jeff Blatnick, and I don't know if it's going to happen, but I know that obviously people are lobbying for perhaps Jeff Blatnick going into the UFC Hall of Fame coming up next July over their July 4th weekend festivities. UFC is every year on the July 4th weekend going to do a mega show. That's the idea, at least. Of course, it's MMA. Guys get hurt. Anything can happen. But that's the idea. July 4th weekend is going to be UFC's version of WrestleMania weekend every year. They're going to run a major event, have a big-time main event, and induct some people into the UFC Hall of Fame. And coincidentally, every year around that time, that is when this website, the Figure Four Wrestling Observer Empire, all congregates down in Vegas for our annual convention. So if you're interested in that, keep that in mind. July 4th weekend, you can come down and visit everybody from the website, and you can attend a big-time UFC event, and you could attend the Hall of Fame festivities. Pretty much everything. It's going to be UFC Fan Expo. It's going to be a big deal. So kind of keep that in the back of your mind as a potential for 2013, and we'll talk about that more as the date draws nearer. WWE announcer Lillian Garcia, we don't have a lot of details, but WWE.com reported that she was involved in a car accident yesterday, actually, in Los Angeles. She was, apparently it was not a serious, I mean, obviously anytime you're hit by a car, it's serious, but she was hospitalized. She was fitted with a neck brace for precautionary reasons. They seemed to indicate that she would be totally fine. She was listed in stable condition, but that's pretty much all of the information we have as of today. So if anything else breaks on that story, we'll be sure to let you know on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. The Spike TV cameras were in Louisville to film footage for an upcoming King Mo documentary. Interesting situation as obviously the Bellator people and the TNA people. By TNA people, I mean pretty much strictly Dixie Carter. Very much behind King Mo. Think he's going to be a big star. King Mo obviously is not ready to get into the ring. He's just started training. He's very green. He's not going to be able to devote full time to training because pretty soon here he's going to have to get back into fight training because he's going to be fighting for Bellator in early January. But they are trying to find a way to get him over. And obviously just throwing him on TV and saying he's King Mo isn't going to work because it is a guy who was a Strikeforce star. But your Strikeforce television universe is minuscule compared to Spike TV, for example, or FX. Obviously, the Fuel audience is minuscule, but he was never on Fuel anyway. He never even fought for UFC. So in order to get this guy over as a special attraction for TNA, they got to get the guy over. So that is the idea here. They filmed a bunch of footage, him largely sitting in the stands watching an Ohio Valley show. I presume they shot some stuff backstage as well. But that will be coming up soon. On Spike TV. We're going to head to a break. Back in a moment with more news and a Hell in a Cell preview here on Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com talking all the news, pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we do every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. For the first time in over a decade, I am here by myself. Of course, this show started way back in the day on IATA.com, myself and Dave Meltzer. And Dave, of course, has moved on from this particular program, replaced by Mike Sempervivi. Mike Sempervivi lives on the beach in Delaware, which is about to be struck by a hurricane. So he is busy taking care of business there. We want to send our best wishes out to Mike, everybody out there on the East Coast. Very, very rough patch. The subways in New York City closing down. The bus lines closing down. It's a scary situation. So obviously the best to everybody there. As noted, I am therefore doing the show alone. And we spent the first segment talking news. And we're going to pick up the news here as well. And then get into the lineup for the WWE Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. It's coming up later on this evening. Coincidentally, Atlanta, Georgia. The home of Goldberg. Goldberg, of course, is, well, when people think of Ryback, obviously they think of Goldberg. And as a quick little side note, WWE has alerted security to confiscate all Goldberg signs tonight. So if you're planning to go to the pay-per-view and bring a Goldberg sign, don't bother. They're going to take it. So don't expect Goldberg to appear at the show. I know some people have suggested that, but I don't think it's going to happen. And by people suggesting that, I'm not talking anybody from WWE. These are fans. We're going to talk about that lineup here in just a moment. A couple of other news notes before we get into that. The Brock Lesnar UFC potential for 2013 doesn't look like it's happening. Brock Lesnar contacted Dana White. At one point, Brock was interested in coming back to fighting. But Brock, I don't know what went down. I don't know how he's feeling. But he essentially told Dana White, I can't fight, but I can wrestle. So it appears his mixed martial arts career is over. I would presume, I shouldn't even presume anything, but obviously his diverticulitis took a lot out of him, and I think most people would argue that his diverticulitis really ended his mixed martial arts career. So everybody pretty much figured that come April, when his WWE deal expires, he would play both sides against each other, perhaps go back to fight, perhaps suggest he wanted to go back to fight, try to raise the offer from WWE, because obviously they're going to offer him some more money after how his pay-per-views have done for WWE. But it looks like he's... I was baffled by it. I thought that even if he had no intentions of ever fighting again, he would act like he did. But I guess the idea was, don't lead anybody on. Let's just be honest about the situation. Fighting is out of the picture. Maybe they figured that if they said they were considering fighting, WWE would say, well, go. Go do your thing. And then obviously, since he can't fight, he'd be left out in the cold. I have a hard time believing that would actually occur exactly that way. But maybe there was some sort of concern. I don't know. All I know is that they have closed the door on mixed martial arts, so he has nobody to kind of play one side against the other here in this situation. So he will be almost certainly re-signing with WWE for another year after WrestleMania ends in 2013. WWE is looking for women. If you are young and hot and athletic, send in your info to WWE. I guess they're back on the kick of trying to find women. It's kind of a roller coaster in terms of what WWE is looking for. They obviously had a period there where they were looking for models. John Laurinaitis would thumb through the latest swimsuit calendar, Victoria's Secret catalog, find a girl, contact them, try to sign them to WWE. Obviously, the idea was we find good-looking young girls and we train them to wrestle. We don't find wrestlers and make them look pretty. So that's what they did for years. And a few months back, there was actually a lot of talk of I don't want to say dropping the women's division because that's not what they were talking about. But obviously, they had seen all of these women that they hired from swimsuit catalogs that came in, had a run, and then voluntarily left. And they didn't like that. And so I think there was this idea of, do we really need to go this direction? Is it worth it to hire these women that are just going to come in here and make a name like Kelly Kelly and then voluntarily bail and try and go get work elsewhere? Is that what we want? And for a while, the answer was no, I don't think we want that. But now apparently the answer is back to yes, that is what we want. So they're looking for women. So I guess WWE.com or WWECorpBiz.com, there's contact info all over there. So if you're interested in being a diva, now is your chance. Speaking of divas, tonight on pay-per-view, WWE Hell in a Cell triple threat match for the Divas title, Eve, Layla, and Caitlyn. They're having a three-way. All of this is built around the, I don't know what it's built around really, Eve and Caitlyn and an attack and a blonde and a wig, who's responsible. It's actually been a fairly interesting storyline by women's storyline standards in WWE. And I guess we'll see. I like Eve. I think she's a great personality. I think she's a good wrestler. Same with Layla, but Caitlyn not ready yet. So putting the three of them together in a match, if it goes any length of time, this could be ugly. The match, not the participants, obviously. But I guess we'll see what happens here. I expect Eve to retain the title. I suppose they could switch it again, but I don't think Caitlyn, I know they like to give the title to everybody, but if you give the title to Caitlyn, she's got to wrestle all the time, and I don't think that's a good idea at this point, defending the title in singles matches regularly. So I think, I don't know, Layla, or maybe Caitlyn hits Layla with something, and then Eve pins Layla after throwing Caitlyn out of the ring, so Caitlyn should have won the title but doesn't. I kind of think that might be the finish to that particular match. Kofi Kingston and The Miz for the Intercontinental title. Obviously, Kofi beat The Miz for the belt on WWE main event. This is the rematch. It should be all right. I actually never saw the match on main event. I've been watching main event about every other week. If there's something I really need to see, I'll watch it. But that's a lot of WWE television. And unless important things are happening on the show, and quite frankly, the status of the Intercontinental title nowadays, that's not all that important to see Kofi Kingston beat The Miz. But this is the rematch, and I would not take the title off Kofi at this point. I don't know. Miz is going to be starring in an ABC Family movie, which suggest to me that potentially he could turn babyface at some point down the road. And usually when someone is in line for a turn, they're beaten quite a bit. Or actually, pretty much if you're in the mid-card, you're beaten quite a bit. If you're in line for a turn or a title, you're beaten like a drum. I do, however, believe that I could be completely wrong here, but I could have sworn on WWE.com when they were talking about his upcoming film that he was doing, they mentioned that the film, which is being done in association with ABC Family, was going to come out in 2013, which would obviously give him a lot of time to... let me see if I can find the press release here. That would give him a lot of time, obviously, to turn babyface if this movie wasn't coming out for like 14 months or whatever. Let's see here. Yeah, this is straight from WWE. This is a press release from WWE. Studio is partnering with ABC Family on a new action comedy for the 2013 holiday season. So that's not this winter. That's next winter. So anyway, he has plenty of time to turn babyface if that's going to happen. I don't know if Miz can be a babyface. I've seen him as a babyface before. He is immensely unlikable, which makes him easier to be a heel. Much easier, obviously. It makes it almost impossible to be a babyface. But I guess we shall see. We got Randy Orton and Alberto Del Rio. I like how they've done this feud. I think they've done a good job. Randy Orton is in the middle of filming a movie. I do think he's certainly going to be turning heel in the next couple of months. I know that usually in a situation like this, the babyface gets his win back, especially since Alberto Del Rio tapped him clean with the armbar about a month back. I have this feeling that Randy is losing, and I don't know why. Well, I do know why. I think he's losing because he's about to do a turn, and Alberto Del Rio lost title match after title match after title match after title match, and I think they're going to give him a win here. And I think Randy will ultimately turn heel down the road. But I think it's going to be a good match. I think they've done a good job together. Aside from the fact that because of the movie, Randy Orton has to try to look the same for about two straight months. So he can't really cut his hair and appears he cannot tan. So it's a very different Randy Orton. But he's kind of going through the motions on television. This is pay-per-view, so hopefully he'll pull out all the stops. I'm not sure when the movie is done filming. But until it's done, I think he's going to kind of remain kind of taking it easy there. Team Hell No against Team Rhodes Scholars for the tag titles. I would like to see a title change. I like Kane and Daniel Bryan, but I really like Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow as a new team. They seem to be gaining momentum. I don't think now is the time to put the brakes on it unless they have an idea of, you know, we give Team Hell No the win on pay-per-view and then Rhodes Scholars win the belts on Raw in front of a bigger audience. It's always possible. But I'd change titles here. And you can do a lot of stuff. You can do a feud. There's a lot of different ways you can go with this. I don't know if they're going to turn Kane and Daniel Bryan babyface or if they'll remain heels that work as babyfaces against other heels. I guess we'll see. But I like that feud. I think they've done a good job. And excited to see that battle. Sheamus and Big Show should be all right. Sheamus has a lot of good matches. Big Show, I think these two can kind of pummel each other a little bit, but you're not going to get a real athletic match with the Big Show. And obviously the whole thing is built around the Brogue Kick versus the Knockout Punch. I think the obvious finish is, Sheamus Brogue Kicks him. Will Dolph Ziggler cash in tonight? I guess we shall see. I think has he done enough jobs? Is the way to answer the question of if he is going to cash in tonight. I don't know. You know, they have done the deal about how Big Show is going to win the title and not be a champion for 39 seconds again. So they could have Big Show beat Sheamus on some sort of fluke, and then Dolph cashes in and wins the title again in 39 seconds. That's always possible. And it would turn Ziggler babyface, perhaps. So lots of ways they can go. We're going to talk more after the break and take your calls. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. Here for the next 20 minutes talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Flying solo today, Mike Sempervivi on the shores of Delaware, buckling down for the storm about to hit the East Coast. I want to send out my best wishes to everybody on the East Coast. Very scary situation. Hopefully everything turns out all right. And we are going to buckle on here alone this evening. We are talking the WWE Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. We spent the last segment running down all of the matches on the show. It does take place moments after the show goes off the air. Dave Meltzer is going to be doing live running play-by-play up at WrestlingObserver.com. And here on this program, we're about to take your calls. Who is winning CM Punk versus Ryback for the title in a Hell in a Cell match? Obviously, somebody's got to win. Somebody's streak is going to end. Is Ryback's streak, his undefeated streak, going to end tonight? Or is CM Punk's 343-day streak going to end? Well, let's get your thoughts. We're going to go to the phones. You are on the air. This is Wrestling Observer Live, and who do you think is going to win the main event tonight?
CM Punk.
CM Punk, why is that? Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Why do you think CM Punk is winning tonight?
Because, I mean, what do you do with the Ryback even if he wins tonight and he's the champion? I mean, the long-term potential of the Ryback isn't there. I mean, there's so many start-stop pushes with guys, and I'm happy they are going all the way with a push on a guy, but I don't think the Ryback is the guy they should have done it with. So, CM Punk tonight.
I think the idea would be that he wins tonight, and then they do the multiple-person match gimmick at TLC, and he drops the title without being pinned or submitted.
Right, but I mean, is that something that fans are going to be interested in? I mean, is that not going to be seen as a BS way to get the title off of him? I mean, you've done this for 20 years, Brian. I mean, you know, you've done this before, and it never works, you know, so.
Yeah, I want to thank you very much for the call. I think it all comes down to the reaction that Ryback gets tonight. I mean, I know they've got a finish, and believe it or not, the finish they have has been unchanged since Friday. That's shocking, actually. But if they have it set in their mind that CM Punk is winning, and they get to the building tonight, and people start filing in, and they're feed me more chants all night long, then I think they're switching the finish. So I guess we shall see. Let's go back to the phones. You are on Wrestling Observer Live. Who do you think is winning tonight, CM Punk or the Ryback?
I believe it's going to go to a no contest. Am I allowed to explain?
Yeah, go for it.
Sweet. I think, honestly, they're going to do something like they're going to have their match, and then Punk's going to hit the GTS, hit him right back with everything he can, eventually going to fail and run to the top of the cage, maybe pose a little bit, kind of get away from him, and as he's trying to run down, the right back comes up to the top, and Punk falls off through the Spanish announce table. It has to be the Spanish announce table, and they go to a no contest. It makes Punk look strong because he'll do anything to defend the WWE Championship successfully, and the right back had Punk run from him.
So they get out of the cage and then climb onto the top like Mick Foley and The Undertaker?
Yeah, I wouldn't say, for health reasons, I wouldn't say Punk would fall completely off. Maybe either halfway or a quarter way, but
the Shawn Michaels halfway bump?
Yeah, like Paul Heyman would get involved. Like, he would either cut open the cage or somehow Punk would get out, and then they'd relock the cage, and the Ryback just eats through the cage or, you know, breaks off the door and chases him, and a bunch of brouhaha.
I like the idea that he eats through the cage. That's a pretty good one right there. The only thing I would say, I want to thank you very much for the call. The only thing I would say is that I don't think you can do a no contest in Hell in a Cell. I don't think that's allowed. I mean, Mick Foley was nearly killed, and they just threw him back into the cage to finish the match. So I think Hell in a Cell, there must be a winner. So that's why I think that one might not fly. All right, back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from? And who do you think is going to win the main event?
Hey, what's up? This is Andrew from Orlando.
Andrew, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Brian? I think CM Punk is going to win and make Ryback tap out with the Anaconda Vice inside of the cell, clean.
So you think he's going to cleanly submit Ryback with the Anaconda Vice?
Well, the reason why I think that, I think it would be a good idea, because if they do the right thing, they're just going to screw it up in a week anyway. So why not just do the wrong thing to start with, and maybe they can build from that?
That is a hell of an idea. I don't think they're going to beat the Ryback clean in the middle with a submission, but a bold prediction, I will say that.
Cool, man. Well, thanks. I'm not going to be actually watching the show tonight. I'm going to be watching the Tranastasio pay-per-view, but take care, guys. Good show.
All right, thanks so much for the call. Huh. Yeah, that's another thing. I know that for the finish, they've obviously discussed different scenarios for both guys winning. And if Punk beats the Ryback, I mean, I could almost guarantee dudes are running in. Maybe like multiple dudes are going to get involved. I don't know why. I don't know how. I don't know what the setup would be. I don't know if the idea would be that Paul Heyman has hired a bunch of heels and something goes wrong or whatever the case might be. But, I mean, I would bet, I don't want to say everything because that'd be crazy, but I would strongly, strongly suggest that the idea of a CM Punk tapping out the Ryback clean in the middle of the ring at the Hell in the Cell, I would think that's unlikely. I think if Ryback wins, I think he wins clean with his finish in the middle. Or if you really want to get the guy over, you still do all of the interference. I don't know how you'd even get the guys in the cage, but I know they've talked about it, so they must have some sort of idea. But to me, there's one thing: Ryback beating the guy with his move. Ryback overcoming odds and beating the guy with his move, that's how you get the guy over. And I know that win or lose, they want to get the Ryback over. So we'll see what they do. And let's see what this person thinks. You are on the air, Wrestling Observer Live. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Eric Durst from St. Cloud, Minnesota.
Eric, who's winning tonight?
I'm expecting Ryback to win if Batista doesn't come in and screw up the finish.
Batista, you say?
Yeah, Batista.
Why do you think perhaps Batista?
Just because the ratings have been low for Raw as of late, and why not do a big shakeup like bringing Batista in after his MMA fight a few weeks back and just do damage to Ryback?
Then we'd have to have a Big Dave Batista versus Ryback match.
Which I'm sure in the end would probably be a pretty crappy match, worse than a Vinny match.
I don't know if that's possible.
Fair enough, but yeah, I expect Ryback to win tonight.
All right. Well, I want to thank you very much for that suggestion. I will say, thank you very much for the call. I will say regarding Batista that I don't think Batista's going to be there. I don't want to see it on the internet that Brian Alvarez predicted that Batista is going to be at the show tonight. I don't think he's going to be there. In fact, I'm almost sure he's not going to be there. But I have found it interesting that Batista has gone very quiet since he won his MMA fight, in the sense that in the weeks prior to the fight, Batista was all over. Obviously, he was promoting his fight and that sort of thing. But after his win, he's gone very quiet. He's disappeared. And that sometimes happens before people go back to WWE. And again, don't report that I think he's going back to WWE. That's not what I said. I just, if he goes back, I will go, oh, well, that makes sense. But I don't, honest to God, at this point, think he's going back to WWE. People have suggested something similar, where Brock runs down and helps CM Punk win. And to me, I think that you need to save Brock's matches. I think Brock needs to wrestle very sparingly and only in really big matches. Matches like the Triple H match at SummerSlam, the John Cena match, whatever he's doing at WrestleMania, whether it be Undertaker or Brock Lesnar, or I'm sorry, Triple H rematch or whatever. And at this point, it is scheduled to be the Triple H rematch. But I don't think I would want to waste one of his appearances on a match with Ryback. I guess it doesn't matter. I guess match quality does, honest to God, take a backseat to whether people would want to see the match. And I think that people would want to see Brock Lesnar versus the Ryback because it's two giant bulls. But that match would be bad. That would just be a bad match. And the idea of those guys going in there and having a horrible match together and wasting one of Brock's appearances or a few of Brock's appearances, I just don't like the idea. And by the way, if anybody can explain to me whatever happened with the Brock Lesnar retirement gimmick where he retired on tout and it was seemingly never mentioned again, that seems like kind of an important detail you'd want to play up, that Brock Lesnar quit. But I'm not WWE. Let's go back to the phones. You are on Wrestling Observer Live. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Ryan from South Africa.
South Africa?
Indeed.
How about that? Who do you think is winning tonight?
I think CM Punk will retain the title.
CM Punk's retaining. How?
Well, I would suspect that there'd be some sort of wacky bump somewhere, and either Punk or Ryback will. Yeah, I know. I don't think anyone's going off the cage, but I think that maybe Punk will work up the leg of Ryback and then he'll go to the top. Ryback will give Punk his Samoan drop or whatever on the top of the cage. And then when Ryback comes down, he'll hurt his leg or whatever, and then Punk will, you know, give him the GTS a few times and then pin him.
Punk will give him the GTS and then pin him?
Yeah.
I see. Interesting. All right. I want to thank you very much for the call. I like the idea. One thing you mentioned that I really liked was the idea that they're on the cage and the Ryback gives him his finish. I think that CM Punk is a guy that obviously he loves wrestling. I think that him going into the cell, he's going to want to do a bucket list Hell in the Cell spot. And I don't mean that means he's going to try and kill himself, but I think that he probably remembers as a kid watching Shawn Michaels take that bump from hanging halfway down the side of the cage. If they're going to beat CM Punk and they want to do it clean, I can see them ending up on top of the cage. Ryback gives him his finish on the cage. Punk rolls off to the side and he's hanging, and Ryback stomps on his fingers and he falls through the table exactly like Shawn Michaels did. That's a fairly safe bump. You're not really falling off the top of the cage. You're actually only falling like a few feet before you hit the table. Probably safer than for example, taking a bump off the post. But I can see him doing something like that. The question is, obviously, if you go with that idea, can Ryback climb the cell and get to the top? He's a big dude with big fingers. Can he get through the... can he get his fingers and his hands? Can he climb? Can he scale the cage like a billy goat climbing a mountain? I don't see the Ryback as a billy goat mountain climber, but I could be wrong. So I want to thank you very much for the call. That's an idea there. I have this from Tyler. He sent this in. This is his idea for the match. During the show at some point, we have one of the geeks interview Ryback. In his question to him, he mentions Hurricane Sandy, which sets Ryback off about how stupid the hurricane is and that someone needs to teach Hurricane Sandy a lesson. He then proceeds to go out in the storm, punching at the rain and wind? I don't know about this. I see. He gets taken away by the storm, so he can't wrestle tonight. I don't know about this idea. That'll teach me to read these emails on the air as opposed to reading them before I read them on the air. There was actually a commercial once where Brock Lesnar, I think it was for SummerSlam, they built it up where there was, in fact... Brock Lesnar attacking a tornado. Yeah. I didn't invent it. So tonight, everybody, it is Hell in a Cell. It is taking place this evening from Atlanta, Georgia, and it is about to go on the air. Moments after the show goes off the air, Hell in a Cell is going to be starting, and we've run down the lineup for the show here on the program, and now it is up to you to watch or head to WrestlingObserver.com and read the live running play-by-play by Dave Meltzer. He's going to have all the who beat who up on the front page. You can get his thoughts on all the matches, and then we're going to be back later on tonight with a brand new show talking all of this exclusively for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. We're going to head to a break. Back in just a moment to wrap this show up. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. Final segment, moments from now. Hell in a Cell on pay-per-view, the WWE pay-per-view headlined by CM Punk versus Ryback for the WWE title in a Hell in a Cell match. Dave Meltzer, live running play-by-play on the front page at WrestlingObserver.com. Later on tonight, only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com, Dave and I are going to be back with a full 1 hour, maybe 1 hour plus radio show, talking all of the matches, all of the backstage news, who is the new or who retained the championship at Hell in a Cell. I, honest to God, at this point, don't know what's going to happen, and I would not be surprised if sometime between now and the end of the show, the plan changes twice for who is going to leave as the champion. But it's going to be a very interesting show, and it leads into Raw tomorrow, where there are rumors of the return of Ric Flair. Only rumors. There are people in WWE backstage talking about it. At this point, I don't think the lawsuit with TNA and WWE is settled, and so I don't think that Ric Flair can legally appear on Raw. But You never know. You never know what might happen tomorrow. So that's obviously the big speculation about Raw on Monday. Will Ric Flair be there? I guess we shall see. I don't know. So that is tomorrow, and we'll be covering Raw on the website as well. Myself and Dave Meltzer, Wrestling Observer Radio. We do daily radio shows every single day at WrestlingObserver.com. So if you only get to hear this show once per week, I recommend heading up to WrestlingObserver.com, checking out what we have there, giving it a try. It's only $10.99 per month. If you like it, keep signing up. You'll keep getting shows, and you'll get the full archive. Thousands of shows are available for you the moment you sign up. If not, we shall be back next week, as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. I want to wish everybody a good day. Hopefully everything works out on the East Coast with the hurricane looming. Everybody take care of yourselves. Get inside. Get safe. And we shall talk to you again next week here on this show. Thanks again, everybody, for listening. Thanks to everybody at Sports Byline. Best wishes, and we shall talk to you again after a while.